Welcome to the deep dive. You've given us some interesting source material today, and our job is to really analyze something that looks short, but is actually, well, profoundly important. We're looking at the official title and structure of a high-level government policy document, and it's about one of the biggest economic issues right now, housing costs. We're not, you know, digging into hundreds of pages of legislation today. You haven't given us that yet. Instead, we're focusing on the foundational bit, the administration's official statement of intent. It's like a linguistic blueprint, really. It tells us how they see the problem and what kind of solution they think is needed.
That's absolutely right. And the specific source we have is that header, Government's Plan to Combat Housing Costs. And then there's that critical subheading, Administration Proposed Measures to Tackle Rising Housing Costs. Sir, it's extremely lean data, yes, but the language used, it really sets the stage, sets the expectation for basically every policy that comes after it. So our mission for you, our informed learner, is to squeeze every drop of strategic insight from, what is it, 7 words? We need to get past just the surface meaning and really understand the technical, the administrative, maybe even the political weight behind choosing words like combat and tackle. Mm. Knowing the government's own terminology, that's your shortcut. It helps you filter all the noise, all the news that's coming down the line.
I like that focus. Okay, let's jump right in then. Let's unpack this. When we have government's plan to combat housing costs, that word combat, it just leaps out, doesn't it? Why use combat? Why not say manage or address? What does that choice signal from an administrative planning view?
Well, it raises a really important question about resources, about urgency. Combat isn't passive. It's a term of, let's say, strategic engagement. It doesn't suggest patience or, you know, small incremental changes. It signals that the government sees this issue as having reached a crisis level, something demanding a centralized, probably multi-agency response, and likely with the power to maybe bypass some of the usual bureaucratic hurdles. When a government calls something a combat plan, you immediately think significant funding, maybe quick funding allocations, and perhaps a willingness to step on some toes to get it done.
Step on toes. Maybe state and local ones.
Potentially, yes, especially if local regulations are seen as part of the problem being combated.
Okay, so that strong language suggests immediate priority. But yep. Let me push back a bit here, introduce some friction. Couldn't this just be, you know, political theater? Isn't combat just good rhetoric designed to manage public perception, maybe public anger, especially thinking ahead to elections, even if the actual policies are, well, minor?
That's a fair point, and critical thinking here is absolutely essential. Yes, it can be rhetoric, but even rhetoric implies intent, doesn't it? If they use a powerful word like combat, they're essentially raising the stakes for themselves. If the policies that follow are weak, you know, minor tax breaks, symbolic stuff, then that gap, that dissonance between the combat title and the reality, that becomes a political liability.
Okay. So the language creates an expectation they have to meet.
Exactly. And historically, a combat plan often suggests they're gearing up to fight something specific. In housing, what does that usually mean? Often it means fighting NIMBYism, that not in my backyard mindset, and the local regulations that go with it, the ones that restrict housing supply.
Right. The local zoning, the building restrictions.
Precisely. Those are often the key targets when you talk about combating high housing costs structurally.
So the term combat helps us predict the style of policy we should expect. Not passive monitoring, but maybe proactive measures, federal mandates perhaps, maybe even federal interference in local zoning, or large-scale investment aimed at forcing an increase in supply.
Exactly. If you connect this to the technical side of housing policy, you have to look for things that address the main roadblocks to building new homes. Yeah. What are those? Often it's lengthy permit processes, expensive impact fees, restrictive zoning, especially single-family zoning. So a real combat plan would likely include things like federal incentives or maybe even mandates tied to state and local governments actually reforming their zoning laws. The goal would be to break that political deadlock that's currently holding back supply growth in many areas.
Okay, so the very existence of this document with this title is the first big insight then. The government is essentially identifying these supply-side regulatory barriers as, well, an official enemy that needs a strategic fight plan.
That's a very good way to put it. The naming itself is a statement of strategy.
Right. Let's pivot now to the second layer. That's subheading. It defines the action. Administration proposed measures to tackle rising housing costs. Let's break down proposed first. What's the significance of knowing these are proposed measures versus, say, enacted legislation?
Proposed gives us a crucial timeline marker. It tells us these policies are likely still under internal review, maybe going through stakeholder negotiations, or importantly, they might still need to get through Congress, through the legislative process. It's not a done deal.
Ah, so the strategy is there, but the implementation isn't certain or immediate.
Exactly. And for you, the listener, this is really useful. When you see news break about a housing policy, you can instantly place it. Is this still in the proposed stage, or has it actually made it across the line and become enacted law or regulation?
That distinction is critical.
It really is, especially for, say, investors or industries affected by housing policy. Proposed measures, particularly complex ones, think about federal mortgage rules or big infrastructure funding mandates, they can change significantly during that whole legislative and regulatory process. So proposed signals that something is coming. It signals imminence, but definitely not certainty.
That's incredibly helpful for just sorting through the news flow, understanding the timing. Okay, now let's zero in on the verb in the goal, tackle rising housing costs. Earlier, we talked about combat signaling an aggressive approach. How does tackle refine that objective, especially if we compare it to just, say, mitigating the impact of high costs?
This, I think, gets us to the philosophical core of the policy, or at least the stated policy. Mitigating high housing costs usually involves shorter-term fixes, often on the demand side. Things like emergency rental assistance, maybe housing vouchers, direct financial aid. These are often necessary, absolutely, but they primarily manage the symptoms or the effects of high prices. They don't necessarily fix the underlying problem.
Right, they help people cope, but don't lower the actual costs long-term.
Precisely. Whereas tackling a systemic issue like this implies addressing the root causes. And in housing, what's the primary root cause most economists point to? It's usually chronic undersupply of housing relative to population growth, job growth, household formation, coupled with rising costs for land, labor, materials.
So if the plan genuinely aims to tackle costs, we should expect a heavy focus on supply-side solutions.
That's the logical conclusion, yes. We should anticipate investments and policies aimed squarely at increasing the housing supply.
So we're looking for things like maybe measures pushing for inclusionary zoning or speeding up construction approvals, perhaps subsidies for building affordable units, or even market rate ones in tight markets, things that fundamentally try to shift the supply curve, right?
Exactly, measures that aim for structural change. Now, if the actual policies, when they're released, are dominated by things like rent caps or just bigger voucher programs, well, then you have to say the policy isn't really living up to the promise embedded in that word tackle. It's more mitigation again.
So tackle implies digging deeper.
It should. A comprehensive deep dive, once the details are out, would look for specific things. One, mechanisms to cut regulatory red tape. Two, direct federal investment in the infrastructure needed for denser housing, think transit, sewers, power. And three, programs aimed at lowering the cost of capital for builders, especially for affordable or middle-income housing. Those are the kinds of technical components you'd need to actually tackle supply constraints effectively.
This analysis gives our listener a fantastic framework then, a kind of rubric for judging future policies as they come out. You can essentially ask, does this new announcement focus on tackling those root causes, supply issues? Or is it mainly just mitigating the effects, managing the symptoms?
That's precisely the value. It gives you a lens to evaluate effectiveness against the government's own stated goal.
Okay, let's connect this understanding of the terminology combat, tackle, propose back to our listener. Why should you, listening now, invest this time just understanding the name of a plan? I think it's because it solves that problem of policy fragmentation, right? All the scattered news reports.
Absolutely. Information overload is a real thing, especially when news reports seem disconnected. Piecemeal. Think about it. Tomorrow, you might read an article about, say, new federal loan guarantees for first-time buyers. The next day, maybe something about an environmental rule change that could speed up development approvals. They seem like separate things.
Yeah, completely unrelated sometimes.
But by knowing the central overarching title, Government's Plan to Combat Housing Costs, you can instantly connect those dots. You realize the loan guarantee and the regulatory tweak aren't just isolated actions. They are likely coordinated proposed measures, part of a larger strategy designed to tackle this single high priority problem. That's how you build a complete, coherent picture of the administration's strategy instead of just collecting random policy fragments.
That structure helps you avoid that trap of mistaking symptoms for causes or tactics for strategy. You can now file everything you read or hear under this single strategic umbrella, the plan to combat housing costs. And that allows you to anticipate what might come next, doesn't it?
It should, because a plan to combat something as complex as housing costs almost has to be a multi-front effort.
Right, can't just be one silver bullet.
No. The problem involves state rules, local zoning, federal finance policy, even global supply chains for materials. So a true plan to combat has to involve coordination across multiple levels of government. You can then start to anticipate future policies, maybe things that mandate changes to state building codes, or federal infrastructure spending that's explicitly tied to cities allowing denser zoning near new transit hubs.
And if those kinds of coordinated multi-level policies don't appear,
then it suggests the plan might struggle to live up to the standards set by its own powerful title. The ambition might be there in the name, but not in the execution.
Okay, wow. That was a really detailed breakdown. We basically extracted a lot of potential meaning and expectation just from the official title and subheading of this plan. We've established the administration's official focus. They're combating rising housing costs. We know there's a high-level plan with proposed measures. And the stated goal is to tackle the root causes. This framework, just understanding the language, gives you, the listener, immense power when interpreting future policy news.
Absolutely. And perhaps for a final provocative thought for you to mull over. Given that the government is framing this as a plan to combat housing costs, and we've discussed how combat implies fighting specific resistance, maybe fighting against structural barriers, who or what is the real target of this combat?
Interesting question.
Is the government primarily fighting, say, economic forces like inflation? Or is it actually setting itself up for a more direct confrontation, perhaps with local governments, maybe with entrenched interest groups, specifically those NMB organizations whose regulatory power, as we discussed, currently limits the very housing supply needed to truly tackle these high costs? Understanding who the fight is really against, that might be the key to analyzing the political feasibility and the ultimate success of whatever specific measures eventually get released under this plan.
That's a great point to end on. Who is the target? Okay, fantastic. Remember, everyone, knowing the full weight and the implications behind the strategic words the government uses, that gives you the map. And sometimes having the map is even more valuable than immediately seeing the territory. Knowing the official name, the framework, lets you file all the future information correctly and judge its effectiveness against the stated goal. Thanks for joining us for the deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.